Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Welcome in, everybody. Frank Bassett joining you for this edition of Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews is traveling the country somewhere. We can't seem to find him, but I'm sure he'll call in. It's payday, so he should call in, right? Tim, call us. Anyway, all kidding aside, Tim is out on some golf assignment, and we'll have him on this next week. But what I want to do is just jump right into it with you. We had an opportunity to catch up with two of the top designers, engineers, and visionaries, if you will, in all of golf manufacturing. Brad Swigert and Mike Nicolette joined Tim and I for a short, long conversation, a little bit. Had a couple of technical glitches in there, but I think we can work through that and it won't really be a problem for you. Brad is the chief product officer for PXG, whom we are proud to have as a major sponsor of Golf Talk America, and I play PXG products exclusively. Mike Nicolette, director of product design. He was a former PGA professional, champion out on the PGA Tour, and Mike Nicolette gave us some great insights. So Brad Swigert and Mike Nicolette joined Tim and I, and let's jump in and listen to a little bit of what the boys had to say.
And welcome back, everybody. We're talking with two very important guys with PXG. That is Mike Nicolette, Director of Product Design, and Brad Swigert, Chief Product Officer. So Frank and I can delve deep into what's going on at PXG, one of the best known, one of the newer golf club manufacturers on the market, and one that certainly is taking it by storm. So very interesting product that you guys have. So I'm going to ask you, Mike, how did you even get involved in this? How did this whole thing start? Because you used to play competitive golf, probably still around your area, play competitive golf, but on various tours and had a lot of success as a golfer. How'd you get involved with PXG and the product design end of things?
Wow. So that's a long, winded question, but I'm going to give you a quick, short answer there. So I used to play on the PGA Tour quite a number of years ago. And, you know, you guys know, because you're professionals at what you do. Everybody's always trying to get better at what they do at their profession. As I tried to get better as a professional golfer, I got worse. So that's one of the strange things about golf. People, I'm sure I'm not alone in that arena. Everybody, sometimes you try to get better and you go the wrong way in this game. And I did, and it got to the point where I was pretty much broke, so I needed a job. And I ended up going into you know, the world of manufacturing, if you will. And I worked for another company for a number of years, 23 years actually. And I learned a lot about golf equipment in that time frame. And we'll just leave it at that. The way I got involved to PXG was really a twist of fate, because I had a friend invite me to play golf at a course here in North Scottsdale called Whisper Rock. And on our way to the first tee, he just yelled at this guy who was hitting some balls, and he goes, "Hey, Bob, do you want to play golf?" And, of course, if you know Bob Parsons at all, that's a very easy persuasion for him. So it's, yep, you know, and off we went, and I met Bob, and I didn't know who Bob was at that time other than just a fellow golfer. And we went out, we played nine holes, hit it off, and became friends, played golf numerous times, you know, over the next year. And the way PXG kind of started, he called me out of the blue one day and said, "Look," he goes, "I'm thinking I might want to try to get into the golf equipment side of things. And I have something you might be interested in." So went to meet with him, and one thing led to another. I gave him, I'm a real truthful guy. And I said, "Look," I said, "I appreciate that, Bob. It's great." I said, "But I'm not your guy." And he goes, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "But I know your guy." And he said, "Who's that?" And I said, "Well, it's my boss, Brad Swigert." And he was like, "You want to bring your boss?" And I'm like, "Look." And then I told him a little bit about Brad. I said, "As far as I'm concerned, Bob, I have two skills. I'm pretty good at golf, and I'm a really good golf club designer." I said, "But you need somebody who's way beyond me if you're thinking of doing what I think you want to do." And I said, "Brad has been running all of the engineering efforts at, you know, my former company for the last 13 years. He manages a team of 70 plus people in both hard goods, soft goods. I said he has a degree in engineering. He's got a degree in a master's in business. I said he's a guy that thinks out in front of the market. You know, where's the market going? What are we going to do to get in front of everybody? I said, he's the best thinker in our industry. And I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I think he's probably the most valuable guy in our industry. And he goes, wow.
Yeah.
He goes, well, let's see if he's interested.
I'm saying the same thing.
Well, I don't even want to say anything more now.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, and Brad's with us. So
this is how this started, you know, and I'm not saying that. And Brad and I are very dear friends, obviously. We work together now. Brad, how long? 20 years? More? 20 plus years?
At least it's been a little bit more than that, actually.
Well, before you guys came to PXG, between the two of you, you have your own 350 patents, for heaven's sakes. I mean, that's
we were just warming up.
Just warming up because PXG currently holds 700. My gosh, guys, y'all, I mean, don't undersell yourself. We're talking to two of the top gentlemen in the entire golf manufacturing industry, and we're absolutely pleased to have them here. And I must say, fellas, I'm an ambassador for your product as an amateur, and I play the new Gen 5s all the way through the bag, woods, irons, hybrids, and the battle-ready putters. And my clubs, people have tried to steal my clubs again and again and again. They changed my game. They really did. You know, Mike, you said earlier, as you try to get better, sometimes you get worse. I went to your product, and I'll be totally 100% honest with you. PXG and the fitting and the way I was set up with your sticks made a world of difference in my game. Just a total, it was a different day. I mean, honest to goodness.
That's always one of the most satisfying things to hear, you know, as a club R&D engineer and developer, you know, that's what we do it for, is to help people play better golf, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, it's great to hear that kind of feedback. That really makes it worthwhile. What we've tried to focus on is just, and it really starts from the top down. You know, Bob sets this vision and sets this direction. It's like everything that we could possibly do to try to make a better golf club and a better experience selling, buying, fitting experience for the consumer, we're trying to do that. And so, you know, we're not perfect. We're still working at it. We're still trying to get better each and every day, but that's our goal. So we do things completely differently than everybody else. You know, from a product perspective, I think we've really changed the industry, so to speak, in terms of iron design. I think prior to PXG, most irons shared a similar technology in terms of a cast cavity back as being the main product that was on the industry. And we've really shifted that focus, and a lot of our competitors have tried to follow. But we really, truly believe we're out in front, and we're continuing to evolve and make that product from a technology perspective better than everything else is in the marketplace. But that's only a piece of what we do. And Mike gave me a great intro, but one of the things that used to drive me crazy when I was at my former company was just the current golf retail environment. I would go secret shop and it was just, it was not what I'd hoped for consumers that were coming in to search out our brand. And so, you know, when I met Bob and to kind of step back a little bit, I was, you know, when I first went in to meet him, I wasn't sure, but quickly I could see his enthusiasm and his commitment to what we wanted to do. So, you know, I felt like if I didn't say yes, I'd be regretting it for my life. So I went ahead and took the plunge from a very good position to, you know, what I think is best decision of my life, you know, in hindsight. But we wanted to take care of the customer ourselves, because we didn't want to outsource that to anybody else, because it's so hard. And it's nothing against retailers, you know, they have their mission and what they're doing, but you know, to have the guy on the floor have a true understanding from a product and technology perspective of all these different brands, and then for consumers themselves to come in. And, you know, I understand that they want to try different products and demo, but you can't really get optimized.
Uh-oh.
You just don't have enough swings, and you're going to get tired.
Yeah,
so,
there we go.
You know, our approach is to, you know, we feel we have the best products. We have all the technology. We have the flexibility to really optimize it for the individual. We train them on how to fit and optimize that product and really fine tune it and take it to another level, working with the individual consumer in our through our process.
When you're talking about the fitting process for PXG, and I must say I've been through the fitting twice before I received mine. And after I received them, I received a phone call the very same day from the man who fitted me. And he said, you're going to take them out tomorrow, hit them? I said, yeah, well, absolutely. He said, all right, go hit them and then call me and let me know how you're doing. And that doesn't happen. That was just an incredible experience to have him say that. And I said, well, I'm hitting them good. I'm doing this or doing that. He said, well, why don't you come down tomorrow or the next day when you're free, bring your clubs with you, and let me see you hit them. Now, that just doesn't happen. So the quality of support after the sales support, and you build a friendship with the guy who's fitted you with the clubs. It was incredible, really incredible to me.
So listen, I have a very short-term story here. My brother-in-law just last week came and got fit for a full bag of PXGs. And I'm just going to say this about my brother. I love him to death, and he's a high-end guy. So he came in, and he did the fitting, and I went down to see him after the fitting, and he walked over, and he said, listen, he goes, I got to tell you, that may have been the best experience in golf for sure, but one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. He says that fitter was such a gentleman and was so knowledgeable, was able to like tweak me right into different clubs. He's like, I cannot wait to get these golf clubs. So the day that the next day he receives, to your point, you know, a video from the fitter, you know, thanking him for the time. Here's where your clubs are, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And it was, he said on, he goes, Mike, it's fantastic. You guys have nailed this. It's the best experience that anybody could ever have relative to golf equipment.
Yeah, it really was, Mike. And I can't thank Travis Rowe, is my fitter. I call him T-Rowe, and here in Nashville, and did a fabulous job. Now, you guys also have opened up stores. You have storefronts around the country and big cities, and I think you're going to be doing it. Well, I won't say where you're going to do the next one. I probably shouldn't. But you do have stores also where people can go into, correct?
Yeah, currently we have 16 locations that are open. By the end of the year, we're going to have 21. And the plan is by the end of 2023 that we'll have over 40. So we definitely have an experience.
I think we're having
In absence of stores, we also have mobile fitters that are all around the country as well, and we have a lot of hub locations. So if you're a consumer out there and you're looking for an opportunity to get fit, the best place to look is on our website.
Right.
And if that doesn't become obvious, then you can call us and they can try to get with where the closest location is to get fit. So our storefronts, our goal is to get those out in as many locations as we can, so that it's so that consumers have the ability to kind of come in, and I think that's the best experience that we can provide. But in absence of that, we definitely have hubs, and then we have mobile fitters as well that are around the country.
You made some pretty drastic changes, or I say drastic, maybe too big a word. Some big changes in the new Gen 5 driver that just blew me away, how the sound just and what it could do. Give us a little insight into what you did to the Gen 5 driver.
Yeah, so, you know, sound and feel is a big part of the design and development of that. You know, from the beginning of PXG Woods, we've really focused on fitting and optimization and trying to put a lot of weight in the club so that you have movable weight and flexible weight. And the problem with that is that when you start suspending mass in the middle of the golf club, you start to create a lower frequency vibration where the club has more movement because you have this suspended mass in the middle, and it's moving at a slower rate. And so that gives you the sound and feel that's not ideal. That we kind of battled it with using our honeycomb TPE technology in the past to try to dampen those sounds and make it feel, you know, quiet, make it sound quieter and feel better. But it really didn't ever feel the way we felt we wanted it to. And so when we approached the Gen 5, we decided we were going to do things a little bit differently. We really wanted to focus on increasing the frequency of those vibrations. So basically shorter, faster vibrations. In order to do that, we had to anchor the weights around the perimeter of the golf club. And that provides two major benefits. One is it really helps improve that feel and sound, but it also moves all the weight to the perimeter of the golf club. So if you look at a Gen 5, you'll see there's a mass, a movable mass that's in the heel section, in the back section, and in the toe section. There's three spots. And they're spread out further, I would argue, than any other competitor in the industry. So it's all at the perimeter. So no, put the weight, you're actually you're maintaining a very high MOI, which leads to forgiveness. But depending on where you put that weight, you can have a significant effect on how that club's going to, what I call like the natural rotation effect, so how it's going to deliver. And as you move that weight from the heel side to the toe side, you really, really change how that club wants to deliver. So we can, you know, if you want to hit more of a draw, we put more mass in the heel and in the back section. If you need to create more fade bias, you start to move mass toward the toe side. And the cool thing about PXG is it comes obviously with stock weights, but we have a weight kit that's really affordable that allows you to change the weight significantly. If you come in and get fit with a fitter, he'll go through that process with you. But if you decide to purchase, you can purchase the weight kit after you purchase a driver, even or at the same time if you're like buying online for some reason, and you can really play and experience with those weights themselves. And we have weights 2.5 gram increments, 2.5 grams all the way up to 20 grams. And so each one of those ports, you can change weights around and significantly affect how that club's going to perform. And not only by positioning mass, but also changing the head weight heavier or lighter. You know, that has a big effect on performance too. And that's something that we've tried to build into throughout the entire Gen 5 product line, that flexibility in weighting. And that goes into the irons as well. And I think we're the only manufacturer that I'm aware of that, I mean, you go through the fitting process, the fitter is going to have you hit heads that are heavier and lighter to see, you know, if one of those directions creates better performance for you. And people are different, you know, people.
Brad, you and I are perfect examples, right?
Yeah, we use that example all the time. Mike and I, so Mike's former tour player, it was a bad college player at best. He's a bit older than me, and so I've been able to kind of catch him swing speed wise. So we swing about the same speed. We fit into a lot of the same shafts. Fitting the weighting in the iron heads, I play heavier than our standard, and Mike plays slightly lighter than our standard. So, you know, and we found that through going through that fitting experience. Never really, I mean, as many years as I've been in the industry, I never played with my head weight before significantly. You know, I always somewhat played the standard head weight. And it wasn't until we built that flexibility that it's so easy to try the different head weights that I went through kind of an experimentation process to see what weight actually worked best for me. And I found that it was, you know, a few grams heavier than what is quote unquote standard.
Yeah. And I found it was a few grams lighter. And that's the unique thing about our Gen 5 irons is you now have that opportunity and very quickly you can discern if you get a little bit of performance improvement, either going heavier or lighter. And that's something I think that's unique to PXG.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
Let me just reconnect here, Frank. We're joined by Director of Product Design, Mike Nicolette with PXG, and Chief Product Officer, Brad Schweiger,
both with PXG, and obviously very proud of it. I was curious, while you guys are discussing the technology and the things that are going into the club, going back to your earlier conversations, and you both switched from another manufacturer, very successful manufacturer, to go to PXG when it was all new and starting. Any apprehension as far as Bob Parsons has a very successful business background, but not necessarily certainly in the golf industry where he made his money. When this was all coming along, did either of you guys think, you know, Bob, maybe you need to rethink this? This is a very competitive, the margins get smaller and smaller. It seems like there's a lot of big players that have been around a lot of years trying to divvy up this market. Did either one of you try to talk Bob out of it and
it's
say
so
there
funny.
Might be a better
it's so
way to
funny
spend some
that
money?
You say that. It's so funny the way you say that because, I mean, verbatim, and Mike could probably tell the story, but verbatim, Mike tried to talk Bob out of it in his first meeting. And that's what I said because I told him it's a very difficult industry. And let's face it, you know, at that time, we had five big players in. And the only way we're going to gain market share is we're going to have to steal it from, you know, some other big OEM, and they're certainly not going to give it up easily. So there's going to be a lot of time and investment, blood, sweat, and tears to try to, you know, get a foothold in the marketplace. And, you know, he even alluded to this. He said, listen, he goes, I know other people have tried to do the world golf. He said, and I know a lot of times what happens in a business is, he goes, they run out of money.
Yeah.
He said, but we're not going to be in that position. We're going to have the luxury that we're going to keep digging until we find out something that the consumer loves. He goes, and if it takes 2 years or 3 years, he goes, we're just going to keep researching until we hit gold. And when we do, he says, it's going to be gold. And so it, you know, that's kind of how it started. And I said, okay, you know, if that's the way you want to do it, then I'm in. So. Yeah,
no looking back.
I was concerned too, and then I came in and decided to take the meeting after, you know, Mike first tried to, as he said, try to talk Bob out of it. And then, well, I always tell the story. I said when he couldn't, to make a long story short, he talked me into it. I was kind of apprehensive at first when Mike first talked to me about it. I was like, you know, that seems like could be here today, gone tomorrow type of thing. And so, you know, it was probably, I don't know, a few weeks to a month of from the first time he talked to me to when I finally decided to go in and meet with Bob. And you know, once I did, I spent about an hour with him one-on-one, and it just, the enthusiasm that he had and the passion that he had, it was pretty infectious. And I kind of walked out of there thinking, you know, this is what I was going to do.
Well, it's proven now. I mean, it's out there. It's the best you can get as far as I'm concerned. That other people may debate that. I doubt many will. But you also have gone the next step and just this week have launched a new product in the family of PXG products, and that's the 0317 irons. Tell us a little bit about why and what goes on with those clubs.
So, Red, do you want to take it or do you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go first, ahead, Red. You can follow up. I'll stay high level, and then you can follow up with more detail.
Jump in there.
So from a high-level perspective, we've had our Gen Series products. You know, you mentioned Gen 5. It's 0311 family. And, you know, we use in the iron category in particular, we use a hollow body technology that's quite differentiated from, you know, what a lot of tour players and elite players tend to want to use, which is more of a solid-bodied forged blade iron. And so we decided in the past, in our Gen 4 series, we had a version of our Gen 4 that was that solid-bodied blade. It was called the ST. But because the technology is so different and because really who we're targeting from a customer perspective is so different, we decided from a branding perspective to split that off. And the 0317 is actually, you know, for those of you who are new that don't really know, the names of our clubs have a root in the Marine Corps. They're actually MOS job codes in the Marine Corps. So Bob was an 0311. So, you know, that was what his job code was when he was in the Marine. It's a rifleman. And, you know, so that's why that's kind of like our flagship series. 0211 is also a job code in the Marine Corps. It's a nice fit, kind of makes sense, you know, given we use 0311. Actually, I think it stands for counterintelligence. But the 0317 really has a nice fit for this particular category because the Marine Corps job code for a scout sniper, as you know, is a very, very high-skilled shooter, probably the highest-skilled shooters in the world. And, you know, that's who we're targeting, you know, with this particular club is the highest-skilled players that are in the world. You know, this is for a player that brings his speed, that has a lot of control of their golf club, and, you know, is going to benefit from the technology that it provides. When it comes to most of the golfers that are out there in the world, they're going to benefit from the technology that's more in our Gen series and our 0211, our Gen 5 and our 0211 product. And I'll let Mike kind of explain some of the technology a little bit more of the 0317 itself.
Well, again, you know, this is a solid blade product. So relatively speaking to our Gen 5s, it's not nearly as forgiving. But this 0317ST is the most forgiving solid blade iron that we've developed to this point. So, anytime Brad and I sit down and start talking about new products, we discuss ideas. We try to pull feedback in from our, especially with this club, you know, from our tour players, what can be better. From that standpoint, you start your design work. And this would be a culmination of, you know, just a lot of feedback from the highest level. And let's face it, I've been there too, so I kind of put my own feedback in there. And since the guy that got to design this particular iron, then there's a lot of me that lives in there. And so from the point, again, that's nice. It's a little bit more forgiving than anything we've offered. There's a little more bounce on this golf club. I'm a proponent of bounce. I think if you did make a mistake on a golf club design, you always want to err on the side of too much bounce because anything that digs into the ground is no good. So the sole on this club is just a little bit different from what we've had in the past. And, you know, from that standpoint, it's very, very forgiving. It gets through the ground very easily, and the from our tour thus far has been very positive on that. So I think that anybody
is that it's got a little bit more angle, but it's a very narrow sole. So that's one of the reasons why it actually needs a little bit more angles because the sole is so narrow. So the way a golf club hits and plays through the turf has to do with both angle and width. And so, you know, we it's important. I know Mike knows this 100%, but I'm just kind of repeating for customers out there because I think it's an important distinction.
Yeah,
and I think that's a good point. You know, because the actual angle of the sole is a little bit higher. It's because the sole itself is a little more narrow, so it plays very similar. But it actually plays. This does get through the ground very, very, let's say, quickly. And I played them. I'm just going to give you for instance. I played them for the first time on Tuesday. We had some gentlemen in from Golf Digest. Brad and I went out and were, you know, lucky enough to go out and have a round of golf with these guys. But I have not played a round of golf in 4 months. I've had back issues and I just had knee surgery. And this was my first time on a golf course. And
so you know, okay, hold on. I want you to guess what he's
71.
Yeah, right, 64.
64? Mike,
take some more time off.
Mike, can you listen? My member guest is coming up, and we could get your mustache for you and some dark glasses. And you could be a 12 handicap coming into this thing.
So he still knows how to use those clubs a little bit.
Yes.
But my point was that even for a blade that doesn't offer a lot of forgiveness, and let's face it, I'm very rusty. I hit shots that weren't right out of the center that still ended up close enough to the hole where you can make birdies. And that, to me, that's what you want to try to achieve, even at the highest level, because the guys are amazingly good, but they miss too. And so if you can give them that little additional bit of forgiveness, instead of having a 20-footer, maybe they have a 15-footer. And it all adds up at the end of the week, you know, where maybe one or two strokes is the difference between a winner and finish in about fourth or fifth.
After this conversation, I know Tim Matthews well enough to know he's probably on his way this afternoon to the Dallas store to get fitted.
to shoot my 64.
So, yeah, there you go. There's one other that I want to touch on that I think is really important on the 0317 STs, and that's the quality of the manufacturing process and how we use it. So it starts out, it's a triple four, and we use that process to start because it provides a really tight grain structure and enhances the overall feel and sound. But as you may or may not know, forgings, they're typically not near net shape, so there's a lot of excess material on them. In the golf industry, that a lot of that is removed by polishing. Most of the forge blades that you see from our competitors are polished after the forging, almost all the surfaces by hand. And so there's a huge parting line that has to be removed off of a forging. So there's a lot of handwork that goes into that. And typically handwork, you know, especially in a higher volume production environment, is inconsistent. And so we've removed all that inconsistency. So we use a milling process for the back of the club and the face of the golf club, so we ensure the face is perfectly flat, the grooves are milled in, it allows us to hold super tight tolerances on the, which helps us maximize the spin performance from all different conditions. But then we use a robotic polishing process, very, very high tech, robot polishing process for the perimeter of the golf club and the sole of the golf club. And so, you know, there's very, very little handwork left at all. It's just almost no change in geometry and shaping, just slight blending at the very, very end. But it's almost all controlled by automation. And so every single club that we manufacture is going to be the way that Mike intended it from the design in the beginning. And it's going to be, you know, from one to the next exactly the same. So, you know, we have... It give you a quick example, like the tolerancing on our head mass is plus or minus 1 grain on our finished heads. Most of the industry is standard is triple that, and sometimes even more. So plus or minus 3 or 4 or 5. So that tells you how consistent the quality and control of our manufacturing process is, where we can hold that kind of weight tolerance on the final product.
Yeah, those are great points, Brad.
Again, we're talking with Brad Swigert and Mike Nicolette, both with PXG. And a question that comes to me for both you guys is, while we're talking about all the specifications and what it might mean to golfers of all different levels, to get a new company like this off the ground, it certainly helps to have guys on tour playing your club. And you had to start from scratch from that standpoint as well. And I'm curious how difficult that was to introduce a new product to the market and try to get golfers that do this for a living that really, really care, even more so than Frank and I, about what their scores are and how to get them using your product in PXG.
Yeah, it's definitely a process. Our very first player that we had was Ryan Moore, and that happened kind of just somewhat organically. You know, what we had worked with Ryan in the past in our former company, and at the time I knew he was a free agent. He wasn't committed to use anybody's product. To the agent, which is his brother, you know, just asked if he might be interested in trying. This is before we even had sold any products yet, but we had developed some new stuff, and we just wanted to get some feedback at the highest level. We, as you guys can imagine, Mike's pretty good, and we thought we had a product that would work for that level of player, but you know, we wanted somebody who was playing, you know, on tour to hit them. And what we said is, like, look, just, you know, once Ryan Moore ended up calling us and we talked to him, he said, look, you know, we'll send you, he goes, send me like a 4-7 wedge and I'll hit it. And if we'll kind of go from there. And so, you know, we're like, look, we just appreciate the feedback. You taking the time. If you tell us they suck, you know, we'll learn from that too, you know. So we sent him a 4-7 wedge and he called us the day after he received them and went and hit them, and he basically was blown away, and he was just like, wow, this is exactly what I've been looking for. And this was our Gen 1 irons, that basically became our Gen 1 irons. And he flew in town, he scheduled a flight, he was in Vegas, so it wasn't very far, but he flew in town the next day so that we could kind of build out an entire set
for him and kind of tune those into his specs and tweak them in so he could take them with him. And he had it at the time, he had like a TaylorMade contract that was on the table that he was considering signing, and he ended up not signing that contract to play our product for free.
Wow.
And then he started the season that year, you know, playing our products with no contract. In fact, I talked to Bob and do we want to launch a tour, and he wasn't sure if he wanted to do it at the time. I told him I felt like we needed to have like some level of tour representation, but it, you know, he just wasn't sure. And he just said, you know, look, we're not even selling anything yet. Why do I want to, you know, pay guys to play our stuff? So when Ryan ended up, you know, taking it without any contract and no guarantee of getting a contract in the future and started the season playing the product. And then, you know, we ended up eventually, you know, creating a plan to start buying inventory and selling product. And at that time, Bob decided to start to launch an official tour program. And Ryan was the first player that we signed.
The first PXG I hit, guys, was, and Tim, you'll remember this. It was in Dallas at Jordan Spieth's event. If you recall, we were out on the range with Zach Johnson. And yep. Zach handed me a 7-iron and said, here, try to hit this. And I hit 3 or 4 shots with it and went, can I have these? This is pretty nice.
Said, no, put them back down.
Bassett, give me that back. Keep your hands off my clubs.
Yeah, Zach's a great ambassador for a brand. Everybody who's come to our brand from a tour perspective as somebody who's hit and tried our products and has showed interest in wanting to be associated with our brand. We haven't like outwardly tried to push it on anybody. You know, so that's been our approach from the beginning.
Okay, so I want to jump across. We've touched on Gen 5. We've touched on now the 0317. By the way, you can tell Bob, staying in my house in our guest suite this week is a real 0317 from the Marine Corps. So it's a good buddy of mine who's in town from the West Coast. So he kind of knew what these clubs were and what all the designations were when he walked in. He said, oh, that means this, this means this, and he went through it. But I want to jump to, you launched 3 new putters recently, but you, more than that, you launched a shaft that, again, has made a huge difference in a lot of games, and especially in my game. I was struggling a little bit with my putter, and you sent me the new one with this new shaft in it. And my goodness, it's head and shoulders above, I think, anything out there right now. Tell us a little bit about that new putter shaft.
Yeah, so it's called our M16 putter shaft. It's the first golf shaft, period, that we have developed. So we've taken, in the past, we've taken a somewhat of a brand agnostic approach on shafts. And we realized that, you know, that wasn't really our expertise, and we wanted to leverage, you know, all the different shaft manufacturers that are out there, and we didn't want to tie down to just one. So if you come to our store and you see our fitting matrix, we have loads of shafts that are available for all the full swing products. And you know, like you guys, we probably, and a lot of consumers out there, we started to notice about a year ago or maybe 2 years ago, higher technology putter shafts started to become more popular at the highest level on tour. And we started considering whether we wanted to start bringing in putter shafts into our matrix and our availability that had this type of technology. And we looked at a lot of the designs that were out there, and a couple of things struck us as, one, they're very, very expensive for a putter shaft. And you just thought the consumer is going to struggle to want to spend $300 or $400 for a putter shaft. And then two, they actually didn't work with all of our hosel technology. So if you do understand our putter technology, one of the key features of it is that we offer 4 different hosel types that can be adjusted into any one of our heads. So you can pick your head shape based off of, you know, look and feel and different attributes, and then get fit for the hosel that matches your stroke and is more optimal for your stroke. But with a lot of those aftermarket shafts, they wouldn't work with all of our different hosel types. So we have a traditional plumber's neck, which, you know, basically would work for all of them. We have a heel shafted one that has a male hosel stem that goes up inside of the shaft. And a lot of the graphite tipped aftermarket shafts, it won't work for that because it doesn't fit inside that connection. And then we have a double bend Which is a face balance hosel type, and we have an arm lock hosel type. And so, you know, all these different hosel types, they none of them would work with all the availability they have. So, you know, when we sat down and started thinking and looking at it, we said, let's just design our own and see if we can make it better than everything else and make it a little more cost effective for consumers so that more people can enjoy it. And two, you know, make sure that it works for all our different hosel types. And so, you know, we started to benchmark, you know, a lot of times when we develop a lot of our products, we benchmark what's out there. And really what a lot of the companies are trying to do with these high-tech putter shafts is create something that's very stiff, very stable, so that you get really consistent results off the putter. But, you know, at the same time, we wanted to make it feel really soft and responsive off the face. And so where we ended up is that we use an extremely stiff carbon fiber material for the upper section, and then we've designed it so that it maintains its largest OD parallel or largest OD longer down the shaft. So you have a little bigger diameter through the midsection of the shaft. So you have a really stiff material, and geometrically the shaft is designed to be stiffer and more stable. Also in the graphite upper section of the shaft, there is 22 steel wires that go around the shaft and go all the way down the shaft longitudinally, and that further increases the overall stiffness and stability of the product. And then there's a third technology in there. It's a rubber material. There's two layers of rubber material that are you know, interwoven into the composite section in between the wires and throughout the shaft. And that really helps enhance the overall feel and response off the face. So we're using a lot of technology in the shaft to create those design goals that we were trying to achieve, which is, you know, very, very stiff, stable, but yet feel really soft and responsive off the face. And at the end of the day, when you look at the results, we achieved all those things. From a stiffness perspective, you know, a typical steel shaft, the butt frequency or the overall that's a measure of overall stiffness is around 307 or 308 cycles per minute, which is, you know, that's kind of where the typical putter shaft lives. That's a standard steel. A lot of the aftermarket product varied from like 325 on the low end to 350-ish on frequency. Our putter shaft, the M16, It measures out at over 380. I think it's 386 or something like that. I'm going off memory here, but it's in the mid 380s. So quite a bit stiffer than everything else that's on the marketplace. That, when you look at it in both player testing and pendulum robot testing, produces much more consistent response off the face in terms of everything that affects roll. So the speed is more consistent off the face. You have less side spin off the face, both on center and miss hit. You have a more consistent launch and spin characteristics that create true roll. The distance that it takes to achieve true roll is reduced. So all these are like really, really good things in the putter. And as a player, you know, my personal experiences with the putter, as well as like a lot of the feedback that I've gotten from other players, is that, you know, it makes a huge difference on long putts with your ability to lag and deliver the club face more consistently. And it makes a really nice difference on mid and short putts too, because you just feel the face is so stable. There's no loading in that shaft, and it just feels like it's so easy to deliver the club face square. And so it really makes a nice difference from a player perspective, along with all the gains that you get just from even that you see from a robot and pendulum perspective. And the best thing is, you know, you think stiff and all this stuff, it's going to feel bad. It feels incredibly soft and responsive off the club face. So, you know, you really get the best of all worlds with it. And it's a great product. And we bring it to our customers for an $89 upcharge, which might even be the best thing. So it's far better than all these other shafts that are $300-$400 putter shafts that are out in the marketplace, at least in my opinion.
Brett, I'm going to say I agree with everything that you said. And the big differentiator there is the feel. You know, it feels so soft. It's just beautiful right off the club face relative to some of the other shafts that are out there that are trying to achieve that extremely stiff feature. So I think our guys hit the nail on the head.
Well, the products are obviously almost speak for themselves, and everybody that I know that plays them, that has them, couldn't be more proud. first of all, they're beautiful, right? So, I mean, they're just gorgeous clubs that everybody seems to notice, from the irons to the woods and the putters. And it has, to almost a man, improved their game and made them feel better, which I think goes hand in hand, right? I mean, I guess you guys would agree. You have to feel good about the look of your clubs and have the confidence and everything to actually go out and play the clubs the right way and hit the ball, because I've got friends that are fairly average amateurs that got these clubs and suddenly it's harder to take money from them. I don't know why, but it's harder to get money from them, and I don't like it. But that's the way it works out. So you guys have accomplished, you know, both.
You kind of hit the nail on the head. I always say to all my staff, and Mike's heard it a million times, is like a club cannot be successful in the marketplace unless it hits these three tenets. It's got to look good, it's got to feel / sound good, and it's got to perform awesome. Like those, I mean, if you don't hit all three of those, it's going to be a dud or whatever. That's just the way it is.
Tim, so what you're telling me in that statement you just made is that if you buy these clubs, they'll pay for themselves in three or four rounds, knowing the money you gamble. So
exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's exactly so there you saying. Go. Price is no object for you, Tim. Yeah. So you don't get any.
And by the way, PXG.com, for people that need to know, PXG.com
absolutely.
Is a simple enough website to see all the things we're talking about here from all the different clubs and see how pretty they are, but also all the technology, or a lot of it, that goes into these clubs right there on the website.
Yeah, absolutely, right. Guys.
Anything else?
And I know, I think that's it. I'm trying. I have my dog in the studio, and somebody has gotten him stirred up outside. So
yeah, I think PXG. He hears the words PXG.
Yeah, well, the bag's away from him. He can't touch it.
But I'm going.
Anyway, Brad, Mike, thank you so much for coming on. And please don't be strangers to us. Anytime you want to come on and talk about anything within your product line, we'd love to have you back.
Whatever. Yeah, just let us know.
Absolutely. And we love your product, honest to goodness. It is the best.
All right. Well, it was really good to spend some time with you guys. And again, if you ever have any questions, feel free to reach out to Brad or myself, and be more than happy to try to get you all the answers you need.
Thanks so much, fellas. We appreciate it so very much.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about our brand today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care, guys. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Bye now.
All right. Frank, there you go. Mike Nicolette. And he is, again, the director of product design, and Brad Schweigert, the chief product officer with PXG. You can tell just the way they talk.
Both those guys
are
proud
of the jobs, right?
Well, I don't blame them. I mean honest to goodness, I know I sound like a flag waver, but I will tell you that the product is incredible. I mean, and these new, we'll get you set up with these new ones, because I think the 0317s will fit you well with your game.
You know what? Like I said, and I wasn't lying about that. I wasn't just saying say it. I really think that that looks make a big difference. And people, even if you buy them off the rack, which we've never recommended because you should get fitted, but even if you buy them off the rack, it's almost like buying a suit, buying a tie, whatever.
Well,
you look at it and it's your eyes first, right? You're like, oh, yeah. That kind of looks nice.
Yeah, it is. But I'll tell you, to speak to that, and I think this is important. Travis Rowe, who is my local fitter and a really good player, was out at my club the other day. And there maybe five or six sets of PXGs out there. And one of the guys was out there in the club room, I'm sorry. We're sitting there, and Travis, he said, I have PXGs. And Travis said, how do you like them? He said, well, I they're okay. And I looked at him, and Travis looked at him and said, what do you mean okay? What's going on with them?
Yeah.
He said, well, I'm not hitting them like I did my old clubs. He said, well, who fit you? He said, I didn't. I bought them used from a buddy. And I looked at him and I said, are you crazy? You know, even if you do that, get fitted, make the changes. You're buying a club that really needs to be fitted. It needs to be custom. And he admitted, he said, look, I know they're great clubs. He said, I just didn't get fitted, so they probably don't fit me. So Travis said, why don't you bring your clubs down to my studio? He said, and for free, I'll run you through it and see what you got and see what changes we need to make. So how good is that?
Nice of them.
Yeah.
But it does make a difference, and these are great clubs. So in the future, we'll be talking more about different products and different clubs, and I love talking about it, because, and I think most golfers do, to different levels. Some want to get really deep, some don't. But to golfers, it's kind of you don't really, first of all, most average amateurs don't play a lot of other sports, and you don't have a lot of specs on a basketball, if you play tennis, whatever else you might play.
Can you make that hoop a little bigger?
There's some, but not much. When it comes to golf, there's so much technology, right? So much different, whether it's a golf ball, the club, the face, the shaft, all. And people really, really get into it. So, I have no problem. I enjoy talking about
I love the tech side of it. And I know we got deep in techie for our listeners. Yeah. And, and then we had a couple of technical difficulties with their headsets there in Scottsdale. But hopefully don't give up on that. Work through that because it's worth listening to the entire interview. But, and there goes Bogey the Wonder Dog again.
There's no technical problem there.
No, there's no technical problem with that.
Bogey's in full throat.
The larynx speaks. Yeah. Yes, I know.
Got it working.
God, please. But honest to goodness, you've heard me say it, Tim. The clubs made a difference. And I've always said, it's not the clubs. It's not. Well, being properly fitted with the proper club. Yeah. I don't know how you can go get fitted with 40,000 different combinations.
Well, I think people are, a lot of times they get intimidated by money, right? I think first and foremost, they think they don't need to or don't want to. I'm only an 18 handicap. It doesn't really matter. And I don't want to spend the money. First of all, it doesn't cost much at all to get fitted. You're going to buy clubs anyway. Let's just assume that's the case. Why not get one that has the right loft, the length of it, everything that's about it, the lies, all those things. It's got to fit you. Otherwise, it's like going to buy a suit but not getting it altered.
Yeah.
Well, some people are taller, thinner, bigger waist, small waist. There's a reason you get tailored suits, so that it does fit you right. Doesn't matter about the price. And you can get any kind of clubs. We're talking about PXG, but I think it just goes without saying. Any club you get, rather than buying them from your friend out of his back of his
garage,
truck for $200, get them so that they make sense. And sometimes so somebody like me, who's a fairly average size guy, I don't have a lot of tricky specs, right? Mine are fairly standard all the way across. Someone's taller like you, someone who might have more girth, bigger. There's all kinds of variants.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. It really does. If you're swinging the wrong club, you might be wondering why you can't break 100.
I'm telling you, I have a couple of those putter shafts that they were talking about that are 350 and up.
Yeah.
Nothing. You can corroborate this. I was complaining about my putting for months? Just something's not right, and I've made changes to putters and shafts and everything. I got my PXG with the new shaft. It was like they said, "Good Lord, Frank, where have you been?" It just made a world of difference. And again, I don't know.
And now it's your baby.
It is. You're darn right it is. I don't leave my clubs at the club. it's been years since I've ever taken my clubs and put them in my car. I put them in the back seat. When I get home, I bring them in. Honest to goodness, I don't leave them at the country club.
When I go to bed, I put them next to me.
Well, I do.
When I take a shower, I make sure that
I love
it has
my
its
clubs,
own sponge.
Man. I love them.
I guess you do.
And these 0317s, I'll tell you, the Gen 5s are gorgeous. The 0317s are just a pure blade, and they look phenomenal.
Yeah, they are beautiful clubs.
I think that's the ones you're going to go with. Because you played. Yeah, you're a little younger than me by, a week, two weeks?
I'm trying to keep my game. It's funny, I'm trying to keep my game in the, low handicap if I can. And it kind of bobs up and down. And a lot of it comes, equipment counts, but a lot of it comes with how much you can golf. And that's why when Mike said that, it tells you how good, really good golfers are to take 4 months off and throw a ball down on the ground and shoot a 64.
Call him and apologize. I said 71. He said, no, try 64.
Well, I was going to say 69, 68, something like that. 64, you're like, when you quit, why? But,
you left the tour.
He'd be the first to tell you, going out with my buddy, I can do that. Which most people can't even do that, but it's a different story when you get out there on the tours and say, okay, now let me do it and make a living.
Well, there's still a little bit of pressure when you're in the position he's in at the company he's at, working for the man he works for, and then you're playing with the people from Golf Digest Golf Digest, I think, that can absolutely kill you.
I promise you he qualified every – before he played with, I haven't played in 4 months, just so you know, because he probably wasn't sure. I'm sure he knew he wasn't going to shoot 80, but he probably didn't have any idea he might shoot 64. So I'm sure he told them all, hey, just so you know, I haven't played, which made it all the more impressive to those guys going, really?
And he hadn't hit those irons yet either.
Hadn't
hit the irons yet.
It's just pull out a frying pan and hit it 270 down the middle. What the heck? Some guys are just good.
I can beat you with a shovel, a rake, and
a tin cup.
I don't think so. Anyway, yeah. That was fun, and I hope all of our listeners enjoyed it. It was fun having the
check
men from PXG.
PXG.com. It's an easy enough website. You can find out exactly where to order clothes, but it shows you the different locations, too, like you said. Like, there's a store here in Dallas, and there's different fitting stores in areas in different areas of the country that you can check out right there on the website as well.
I'll be talking to them first of next week, and if you want to get fitted, we'll get you set up out there.
Okay. Sure, love
that'd be,
to.
That'd be kind of cool. So I'm going to leave all our listeners with this one statement. Nobody builds golf clubs the way we do, period. There you go. Thanks, Tim.
All right, Golf Talk America, it is Frank and Tim signing off. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you again soon.
Forget lessons. Forget changing your swing. PXG Gen 5 golf clubs will unlock your potential and help you play your best golf ever in just one round. Built with PXG's most innovative materials and updated with new head shapes to suit every skill set, PXG Gen 5 clubs deliver cannon-like distance, laser-like accuracy, and angelic forgiveness. Order your Gen 5 clubs today at pxg.com or schedule a fitting at 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Do it today. Fall is chaos in your pants. You're overheated 1 second and freezing the next. To be ready for anything, you need underwear that can handle everything. It's time for Tommy John underwear. In Tommy John underwear, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Name a problem with other underwear, and Tommy John's solved it. Tommy John's breathable, lightweight fabric has 4 times the stretch of competing brands. They come with a no-wedgie guarantee, thanks to a non-rolling waistband and legs that never ride up. Plus, they feature a horizontal quick draw fly. Hammock pouch support stops the awkward swing and slap, giving everyone something to be grateful for. And God knows I'm grateful. You know, they've sold over 17 million pairs. People love Tommy John underwear, and that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics, like me, and all of our friends at Golf Talk America, and all of our friends at PGA Tour Countdown, and all of our other shows. They all love the Tommy John's product. So here's what I want you to do, and listen very closely. This is important. Go to TommyJohn.com/golftalk right now for 20% off your first order. That's 20% off at TommyJohn.com/golftalk. That's TommyJohn.com/golftalk. See site for details. So there you have it, everybody. I hope you enjoyed listening to the insights from Brad Swigert, Chief Product Officer, and Mike Nicolette, Director of Product Design at PXG. Again, PXG, nobody builds golf clubs the way we do, period. For Tim Matthews, the Golf Talk America Network crew, and all of the folks that we have that help us get this show on the road, including a one very special shout-out to Laura Bryna, who has a great new song releasing, Jawbreaker. Check it out. Laura Bryna, B-R-Y-N-A, Jawbreaker. Again, been a great show. All PXG this time. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.